Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. Season 3, Episode 2, Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, and I'm David Todd of 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio. Dave, starting Season 2, or Season 3 here, and Steelers in camp, finally got the pads on Saturday. First time we've talked about it on an official Terrible Podcast, although we've had a couple training camp recaps. 2 days over the weekend with the pads on, and then a day off yesterday. But, of course, the big news, and it's been all over the airwaves, we've talked about it in our recaps, and I've talked about it on the radio shows, is if we had had a conversation Thursday or Friday morning like we did, and we were told there was going to be a press conference Saturday in La Trobe announcing a contract with the Steeler wide receiver, we would have said, well, I wonder how much Mike Wallace is getting and how many years he's under control for. Well, that's not what happened. Antonio Brown gets the 5-year extension, $42.5 million. You've written a lot about it on the site. You did a great job of breaking down exactly how the dollars play out, how there's a limited cap hit this year of $1.7 million. What's your overall take, and where do we go from here?
Yeah, the fact that they did it was not an overly surprising, in my opinion. The fact that they did it this early is. I thought maybe, you know, after they got Wallace taken care of, or you know, if that played out earlier, I thought, you know, this would be one of the ones that you see announced possibly the last 2 days or final few days right before the regular season. So, you know, they had their options of whether to do it now or to restricted tender him next offseason. I think this is a move that you can't look at. I don't think it's a move that was just solely done to give Antonio Brown Mike Wallace's money. I think this was in the plans, as you said. It only moved the salary cap needle $1.7 million. Okay, so it's not like it was hurt, you know, using up a lot of cap room there. But at the same time, I do think it was a message of sorts because the way they dog and ponied him out there to the press conference too the day after, especially when you think back to last offseason, who did we have extended last offseason? We had Woodley, we had Timmons, we had Polamalu. None of those guys got press conferences last year in training camp. They made a point to put Antonio out there. And the other thing I think that's important about this Brown contract, yes, it's a look at it this way. It's a 6-year deal. It was a 5-year extension. So 6 years, $42.5 million. It's not like I heard it described yesterday on one radio station as, well, they gave him the monster money that they gave Wallace. No, they didn't. $8.5 million signing bonus, you know, is not monster. And you know, when you add in his base salary of 2012 of just over $500,000, you know, that's only $9 million guaranteed in that deal, and that's a 6-year deal that you tied him up on. So, as always, that I try to warn people about, and this is probably what drives me nuts, is when people try to compare apples to apples, oranges orange, and say, well, this guy got this deal is just under or just over this guy's deal at 40 whatever million. It's important to look at the guaranteed money and how the contract is structured. Yes, they want the player to play, you know, they want Antonio Brown 6 years there and 12 more on top of it. You know, but you have to look at the structure on this, and I think that's where people are saying, well, he got Mike Wallace's money. Listen, if they offered Mike Wallace, $42.5 million with only $8.5 million signing bonus, I would be insulted, okay? So I just want to get that point out clear as far as the AB contract goes first.
Yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of things going on here, and no question, now the Steelers, may approach things differently with Mike Wallace. I think, you know, Mark Cabalia has put out there that the Steelers had an offer of five years, $50 million on the table. You and I don't know whether that's 100% true. We don't know how it was structured in terms of the guarantee. So, I mean, it's possible that that was out there, and that's a very broad parameter because, as you've said, how the money's guaranteed is really important. Even though Wallace is a young guy, it's still he'd want to know how much of that money he's going to get up front and how much is going to be guaranteed, because if he's injured, that's going to impact things down the road. You've pointed out a couple times that the Steelers, this is a very team-friendly deal. On the back end, they have the ability to not have a lot of dead money if something were to happen to AB. But at the same time, both Brown and the Steelers fully expect him to, you know, play this contract out and earn every dollar of that $42.5 million. But coming back to the Wallace side of things, you know, if I'll just say it. If there was a deal that was remotely close to 5 years, $50 million with $20 million guaranteed, and he and his agent, Buzz Cook, turned it down, they're idiots. I mean, it's just crazy dumb for them to do that. And part of the reason is because Wallace would get the first year of that deal would be this year. That restricted tender of $2.74 million would go away, so he'd get $10 million up front this year, so he'd start making that money right away. Now he could, you know, now he is potentially, if he plays, he's going to get $2.7 million or some prorated amount of that if he holds out during the season. So, you know, unfortunately, word's coming out that Mike Wallace might be handling this thing himself and not really listening to his agent. And if that's the case, that's a little unfortunate. That's why you hire an agent. And if, you know, if this all came down to the fact that he was, it was an ego thing and he wanted to get $4 or $5 million more so that he was in Vincent Jackson's territory instead of DeSean Jackson's territory, then I think he got some bad financial advice.
Yeah, I mean, if indeed, and that's a big if, I mean, the Steelers, yep. If the Steelers, for one thing, I find it unusual, and I love Mark. Mark is one of my favorite guys on Twitter, and as far as getting info out, very fan-friendly, very blogger-friendly as well, too. You know, we don't know. Now, that number sounds like it could very well be possible, five for $50 million. We don't know how it was structured. We don't know how much the guarantee was. That's right. One thing that you know, we could see a deal end up somewhere similar to that. We could see something along the lines of anywhere from $45 million to $50 million on 5 years. That is where I think the number's going to come in at. One thing to look at, you know, that really hasn't been talked about as far as an angle, as far as negotiations with Wallace goes, is the threat of the franchise tag on him next year. Now, do we ultimately think that if it got to that point that the Steelers would use the franchise tag on Wallace? I would probably lean to no, but I would not be willing to bet my house on it either.
I am so with you on this, and it hasn't been talked about. And one of the things is, it's clear the Steelers aren't thrilled about using the franchise tag. And as you say, I agree with you 100%. I would lean no. And certainly, you don't want a malcontent in the locker room, and that could impact things. But having said that, if you're willing to offer a guy 5 years and $50 million, and he goes out and has a really productive season this year, no matter how they come about, if he puts up numbers like he did last year, and then you have the opportunity to pay him $10 million for 1 year, you have to do it.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to do it.
Yeah, and we've seen Omar work magic with this salary cap for it. Everybody wants to always point to this number now of $15 million over next year. Listen, that goes away real quick when you release James Harrison, when you restructure Timmons and Woodley for starters. And that's just starters that you're doing that right there. You could always – you're coming up on a time where you're probably going to give Ben Roethlisberger an extension. You know, there's several – we saw Omar just make that money go away last year with very minimum cap casualties attached to it. So if you're caught up on that, you didn't pay attention to it last year. Now,
and all these guys who were commenting that, you know, the Steelers are really screwed for next year because they're $15 or $18 million over already. Just as you said, look, they were $20 million over this year. Everybody told us how the sky was going to fall, and we told everybody to relax. Watch how this plays out. There's some dead money there. There's some money that can be easily moved off. And, of course, not only did it all work out, they were able to sign Cotchery, and now we've seen a variety of other moves around the fringes of the roster to make this thing hum. And so, you know, worrying about where they are next year is just way off the mark.
Yeah. Now look at the possible earning. Let's say Mike sits out until the end of the season, week 11, where he has to come in and at least sign that tender to get his accrued season to become an unrestricted free agent. All right. He's already going to get that he's not going to get that full $2.74 million at that time. And that's going to work out to close to $1 million. Okay. If he has the threat of the franchise tag on top of that, let's say that number comes in at an even $10 million. Okay. That means over the next 2 years, he only has the earning potential of $11 million. So that's I'm going to have to take my shoes off. $5.5 million a year that he stands to earn. Plus he has to play. He risks himself some injury here. Plus he risks, just production falling off over those 2 years. Plus he risks father time taking two steps toward him. So if given the choice of let's say $20 million guaranteed in a contract this year, or only earning, and this is where the threat of the franchise tag is so huge in this thing, and this is so important of why it was important for Kevin Colbert to slam that final door down in the basement by saying he wasn't going to trade Mike Wallace, because the escape routes are now closed. Mike Wallace doesn't know whether or not they're going to use that franchise tag on him. So now the maximal earning potential right now for Mike Wallace, should he wait till week 11 to report, is $11 million, and there's a lot of ifs attached to that.
Yeah, there's no question, Dave. I think there, I don't know what to say. The question is, I guess now, is will the Steelers have an offer on the table? Can they work out a five-year deal with Mike Wallace for something between $42 and $50 million? I think it's going to be hard for Wallace, if he saw a deal on the table at whatever the parameters, it's going to be hard for him to sign a deal that the Steelers make a lower offer. So I would think if the Steelers decide that they can no longer offer the money they offered to him in the full amount, that a deal doesn't get done. And, I've said all along, I've said since February, I don't think the Steelers get a long-term deal done with Mike Wallace. I'm not going to change my stance now. It certainly feels that it's even less that way. Does it mean I hope a deal doesn't get done? No. I'd love to see him get a deal done, or I'd love to see him play for the RFA this year and for the franchise next year if he has a good year. But, we haven't heard anything from Mike Wallace. We haven't heard anything from his agent. So it's all speculative on our end on what he's thinking. So, yeah, would the Steelers offer Mike Wallace a little bit more money than Antonio Brown? Yeah. And do I think they could get it done? Yeah. Do I think Mike Wallace does it? I still got to lean no. So we are where we are. Of course, we're not going to get blindsided. I guess we still could get blindsided. I mean, Wallace has to report and do the tender. But, I mean, that would be a quick negotiation if they got a deal done right when he came in, if they had the parameters of that. But I guess it could happen. But, Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, and everybody else in the Steelers organization is focused on who they're going to have in camp, and they'll get back at it today. And Dave, why don't we go over the injury report? Because that's one of the things we like to lead off all our shows with during the season, to get everybody up to date with where things are. And let's start with the pup list again. We went through it really, and you did a great job explaining it last time out, so I don't know that we need to go into quite the detail. But tell us the six guys who were there, and let's speculate on when they may be back.
Well, you've got, Casey, you got the three. I like to classify by the knees first. So you got Rashard Mendenhall, you got Casey Hampton, and Max Stark. So there's your three guys that are coming off the ACL. So I think we both agree it's going to be a little while on them. Max is probably the closest of the three to coming back. And I've kind of speculated, possibly after the second preseason game, or maybe right after the first one, get a week practice in, maybe sit out the second preseason game, and then aim towards hitting the field, the third or fourth game there. So those are your three right there. The next three are, you've got Jason Worlds, who had the offseason wrist surgery. You got James Harrison with the knee, and then you've got Damon Cromartie-Smith, the safety, with the shoulder. Now, I think you even said you overheard a conversation last week where Tomlin.
This wasn't a quiet one. Mike was in the middle of the field, and the four of the six guys, and the two who weren't there were James Harrison and Casey Hampton. But they were doing some intense. They were doing some very well directed intense work different guys doing different things, but all kind of, you know, conditioning work right there on the sideline where the team was practicing, and Tomlin walking down the middle. I don't remember exactly how he referred to Cromartie Smith. I think he might have said Cromartie Smith. He said, you know, short-term injury, you know, Wednesday's the day, you know, let's be ready. And so he yelled that across. So clearly they have a timetable on this thing. It, you know, the off day on Monday wasn't going to impact when he was coming back. They had targeted Wednesday, and he nodded his head back to Mike. So it sounds like, yeah, he'll be back Wednesday. Now, Jason Worlds was standing right beside him, and he didn't say, you know, you too, Worlds. So I'm guessing it'll be a little bit longer for him. But he's not wearing a cast or anything protective on that wrist like he had been most of the off season, and even was at the beginning of camp. So I'll take that as a good sign, but maybe he's got another week or so to go.
And then further with the injury report, I think there was, you know.
And Dave, let me just throw in. Sure. I mean, for Max Starks, you know, is much of a veteran as he is and everything else, if he wants to win this left tackle job, I would think after the Eagle game next Thursday, he's got to be good to go. He's going to, you know, he can miss this first week or maybe these first 10 days, but if he were to miss much more, you know, I don't know. Let's put it this way. It would behoove him to get back sooner rather than later. He knows that. He looks good. He seems to be running reasonably well. I think they'd probably give him this week, but I would think, you know, they signed him because they thought he was going to be able to practice pretty soon. So I would think in the next week to 10 days, he'll be back as well.
Yeah, and my scenario is maybe missing the first preseason game, come off the PUP list after that for the next week of practice, hold him out for the second preseason game, although he's still practicing, and then let him play in the third and fourth preseason game. That ought to be plenty of time for Max, in my opinion.
And I would think, you know, James Harrison's going to be kind of as he sees fit. I just don't, there's no indication that this is anything too serious. And, you know, it's rather than saying like during the week when he gives the veterans the Wednesday off, you know, maybe he's giving Harrison, or they are giving Harrison, the first 7 or 8 days off. And I wouldn't be shocked to see him back today, to be honest with you.
Okay, and let me throw a word out for you there that this is kind of resembling with Harrison, and this is totally, you know, speculative on this with Harrison and that injury. It's the dreaded microfracture.
Sure.
Okay, so just keep that in the back of your mind going forward with this thing, because something's not right with it. And usually when you start hearing some of the things that like this associated with this, you kind of think with the wear and tear and with what he does and the nature of the game, you're thinking microfracture in one of those knees. So,
that's, you're taking a guess. I mean, it's
right. Totally speculative. That's what I'm saying.
But I just, let's sure hope that isn't the case, and nobody's indicated that it was, but he hasn't been overly forthcoming, so we'll see. I mean, microfracture requires surgery, and he hasn't had surgery, so, we'll see. You would think if they thought it was that, they'd try to get that done as quickly as possible.
You're talking about a guy, too, that needed a discectomy done late in that one season and decided to hold off and play through that thing. Until off season last year as well too. I mean, that came from the doctor himself who performed the surgery that said, "Hey, they gave James an option. Hey, you really need surgery now, but if you want to try to play through this, you can play through it. And we'll get it done next off season." So, James Harrison will play through a lot. So, I just wanted to throw that out there. But the other injuries that Tomlin talked about that happened this week, we had David DeCastro and Trey Essex roll ankles, I guess. None of those you saw them hobbling around. They probably
both expected to play to participate today. And then, of course, the Keenan Lewis injury, David. And that happened right in front of me. Keenan Lewis, they're going full with the pads on. And these guys, this is going to sound silly saying it because everybody knows this, but these are great athletes and they are going full speed. And when they go full speed, the action, you know, you're standing there on the sideline. I think we've all, or most of us have stood on the sideline at a high school game or maybe a college game. And you probably fewer people have stood on the sideline at a pro game, but the speed of the game is big time. And they're big guys. And when they're flying around like that, I mean, you see guys hit each other. And they're just, during practice, standing there, they're just, five or six plays that stood out. You had Lawrence Timmons absolutely blow up Will Johnson on a play and then blow up the play. You see Lamar Woodley coming off the edge. Chris Carter did a lot of good things. Well, there was a collision on the sideline there, and Keenan Lewis took the worst of it in his right shoulder. And he came off, and he was kneeling down. The trainer immediately came over. They brought over Dr. Bradley came over, and I think another doctor and trainer came over that immediately got his pads off. He thought he broke his collarbone. They took a good look at it. Doctor said it's not broken. Put some ice on it. They decided it was an AC sprain of the shoulder, which I'm not sure. Maybe Dave, you can give us a better explanation of what that is. But he's not going to be practicing today, and I'm guessing he's going to be. You know, I would think the fact that it's not broken is a big deal. But any kind of sprain, typically 3 to 5 days. Maybe we don't see him until next week.
And that's at the earliest, I think. I think for now, for sure, you can rule him out of the Eagles game. And, you know, depending on how this thing goes, he could miss the first two preseason games. It's not a long-term injury, but it's a type injury, too, that you don't want to rush back risk having that joint. Have that sprain in that joint again too. I don't know too terribly much about AC joints other than to know it's just usually a couple two to three week injury associated with it. But what does this do now? You know, hey, we were already talking heading into training camp about this cornerback battle with him down, for let's say even a week. What does this do to the cornerback battle?
Well, I don't think it throws him out of the equation. I mean, if he misses 5 days and he's back practicing Monday next week and gets to play in the Eagle game, no harm, no foul. But it certainly means more reps for Cortez Allen and Curtis Brown. What was interesting was they had Ike playing on the right side and they've had Keenan Lewis on the left side. And when they were running the second unit guys, Cortez Allen was on the right side and Curtis Brown was on the left side. So I don't know if there's significance to the fact that Curtis Brown ran the rest of the first team snaps when Lewis came out, it was Curtis Brown who went in there. I don't know if it was significance to that he had been running on that side, so he was the guy who filled in, or if the Steelers think that he's next on the depth chart. I'm not going to read anything into half a practice, but we'll see something today. We will see something today about who they put in at that corner spot. And maybe they just rotate those two guys, regardless of who steps in on the first play. Maybe they just take turns going there. But I think, Dave, you and I, at the end of the day, and I think a lot of the beat guys that I talk to, whose opinions I respect, think that the Steelers think that one of these other two guys is going to be the guy who eventually wins the job. So this hurts Keenan Lewis a little bit more than it would hurt virtually any other guy, because there are adequate guys who haven't been separated who may have an opportunity. So I'm sure he'll try to get back quickly. He's got big ambitions for himself this season. But, yeah, it's a step back, and hopefully for him it's just a 3 or 4 day step back and not a 10-day step back.
Yeah, and you'll be back out there again today, and, your Twitter updates have been amazing, and we all appreciate that. So that'll be something I'll be looking for from you today is how is that shaking out rotation-wise with Keenan on the side and all. And I'll be interested to know who the next one is after that. Are we seeing a Terrence Frederick? Are we seeing a Carter or something like that too? So, kind of, if you would, keep your eyes peeled on that today. Another guy that evidently has been making some noise, there's a story in one of the papers today, I can't remember if it was the Trib or the Post, I want to say it was the Trib, about Chris Carter. And this is a guy with Harrison and Worlds out on the PUP to start off with. This is a guy that seems to be taking or making the most of the extra snaps already. From your time out there, has he flashed a little bit, or is it just too tough to tell? Some of these camp reports, come on, let's be honest, it's still football and shorts, and a lot of people don't know what they're looking at overall. But, has this a guy, he's supposedly gained eight or nine pounds and gotten a little bit stronger. Is any of that noticeable with Chris Carter?
It wasn't football and shorts on Saturday and Sunday when they were doing this stuff, these drills. They were definitely hitting, and that's where Chris Carter, Mike Tomlin was loving Chris Carter on Sunday. He was definitely giving CC a lot of props, and he was getting in there, and he made some plays and did some really good stuff coming off the edge. I think Lamar Woodley just abused David Johnson in the backs on tight ends thing. They're doing this, and you see what they try to do is they try to have like talented guys go up against each other. So the undrafted free agent guys are going against each other. The guys on the fringe of the roster, maybe the Brandon Johnson's going against the David Paulson, the seventh round pick out of Oregon, or you got guys, you know, who aren't the starters. And then, you know, when the big boys go at it, they try to have them, you know, go off against each other. And it was, you know, in the tight end situation, David Johnson was the veteran and Lamar Woodley smoked him once. He smoked him twice, and he smoked him a third time. And DJ had been getting the better of most of the other guys until that point. And it was just awesome to watch how quick and strong Woodley was off the ball. You know, he bowled him a couple times, and he swam him once. It was good to watch. And you see the talent there. Carter was doing his stuff more on a 5-on-5 or 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 settings. They did some great stuff. My favorite line, we had the best Tomlin line up so far in the preseason. There was a play where this was unrelated to Carter, but I had been watching him on the play, so I didn't really see exactly how the seal happened. But something happened up on the inside. The line blew open a hole, and John Clay, you know, went right up the middle and took it, you know, 40 yards down the field. And Tomlin started whooping. And he was yelling at the defense a little bit, and he's walking over to the guys on the sideline, and he said, "They're going to be a dead Indian in my cowboy movie tonight." And he was having some good, he said it about 3 or 4 times, because he couldn't tell either. One of the things when you're down on the sideline there, and that's why, you know, these coaches look at the film so much, is you're down there, it's hard to get perspective on what happens, you know, that's not on your half of the field. So there was a crease block there, and somebody got caught up, and they blew it open. So Tomlin was really razzing the defense there, and he wasn't joking around. He always wants to know. They've got cameras on cranes out there, and he wants to know, you know, which camera's live and what kind of view he's going to get, much like the All-22 we're going to be able to see this year. So that was some of the entertaining stuff. And, again, as I've said a couple times, he's a presence out there. You can tell he's definitely in charge and running the show. Even though the position coaches are very hands-on on what they're doing, it's Mike is definitely running the show.
And Wesley Saunders supposedly was the best tight end of the group. And let's be honest here, that drill, I've seen that drill run before. That drill is very slanted towards the linebackers, because the tight ends and the running backs, they're not allowed to cut these guys in this drill too. And you know, in my opinion,
just to be clear though, this wasn't a backs on backers drill in the sense that the guys were lined up back there. These guys were lined up on the line of scrimmage, so they were just going right off the line.
Okay. So it's almost like a seal the edge type drill.
Exactly. You're sealing the edge. You're holding the guy there. You're trying to drive him one way or the other. That's the, you know, take him outside, take him inside, whatever your assignment is.
Well, that's good news about Woodley, too. And that tells us that hamstring now is behind him, you know. And, you know, I don't think it says that much about DJ, because, I mean, let's look. When Woodley went healthy, I mean, you're talking about a Pro Bowl outside linebacker here. Quality guy. So, you know, just because DJ gets whipped 3 times in a row, outside of that, I've heard DJ and Will Johnson have both have, you know, good starts of camps, and hopefully.
Yeah, they've looked good. They've looked good, you know, on the blocking side of things. I mean, you know, we'll talk about it, Dave, and hopefully I'm going to get a chance to talk to all the assistant coaches here at camp. And I think Keith Butler will be on tap today if everything goes according to plan. But just talking about the situation, the question I've asked, and I'll just throw it out for you and I, is, you know, we've seen some eye sets, some, you know, fullback lead in the eye, a lot of single bats back sets as well. They've been throwing the ball a ton to the backside of the backfield in the warm-up and walk-through drills, and even in the 11-on-11 stuff, getting the ball out of Ben's hands. I still am curious, even though DJ's now 100% full-time fullback, working with the fullbacks, and Will Johnson is as well, that they didn't bring in a guy who is pedigree as a fullback. Not that these two guys can't do the job, but
yeah,
when you had 90 roster spots, I'm just curious that they didn't bring somebody who was it was a true fullback.
Yeah, and we've been hitting on this. You know, you're not going to see a fullback out there. 15 plays at most. You're going to see a fullback in the game. I think they just want that at their disposal if they get into those situations where they have to have that yard, or they have to have that 2 yards or whatnot, and even in on the goal line or whatnot. You know, and don't forget, too, Doug Ligurski hopefully will not have to be playing on first team this year. That's another guy, good short area quickness.
And I'll give you a point there. Alameda Ta'amu in his first snap in that, just ran over Ligurski. Tom, the whole story about walking to Walmart, we haven't talked on about that yet, but he had his foot injury, came back and did his first practice on Sunday. He is a big wide man, and he got in there and he was disruptive in there. He did a nice job. And the other side of that is David DeCastro on his first day. I think he probably walked up the hill at the end of practice, shaking his head a little bit. He got beat on more than a couple plays, so it wasn't the most impressive practice from the first round pick.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that too. I think that was Corbin Bryant that put a footprint in him.
Corbin Bryant got him, and a bunch of other guys got him too. Not to say he got embarrassed, but it was a learning session for David DeCastro. Trust me.
Yeah, and I think everybody's saying, "Oh Lord, maybe DeCastro is not the guy that we thought he was." Hey, this is the first week of camp. These guys are still getting acclimated to what NFL life is going to be about, what NFL training camp's going to be out, and it's a little bit of an eye opener. But you're also you're not going to go, 100%. You're not going to win every battle every time, too. And when a guy like DeCastro does get beat like that, that's going to make the news more than DeCastro beating somebody like Corbin Bryant as well, too. So, the big test of this is going to be when we get into the first and second preseason game. I'll be grading these things out. But that's when you're going to get a good idea where Adams and DeCastro is in all this. But until that's said, though, I mean, it's obvious that Foster's still running with the first team at right guard. It's obvious that Trey Essex is still running with the first team at left tackle. And I expect that's the way they're going to open up initially with the first team when they play the Eagles. So do we expect DeCastro to win that spot by the time week one rolls around? Well, I mean, I think that's up to him. I'm not so expected, of Adams to win that spot. But as you say, if Starks does not get on the field by about the third preseason game of the season, you have to really start thinking, well, this is going to be Adams' spot, at least initially in the season.
Yeah, I think that's a very good assessment. The other news, a couple other injury guys we didn't talk too much about. Jeremy Kapanos has been out. They didn't do they've been punting. We've talked about who's been deep on the punt and kick returns. Manny Sanders having Sunday off because they practice on the artificial turf the whole day. Just wanted to give him a maintenance day, make sure they're not pushing him too hard with coming back from the knee and foot injuries that you talked about all of last year, and you were right on the mark all season long with that stuff. Sanders the day off, but Drew Butler, looked good. We'll see if Kapanos is back today. He wasn't on the field doing any stretching or didn't see him at all on Sunday. So I'm interested to see what his status is because, if he misses 4 or 5 days, not a big deal. If he misses 2 weeks, it becomes a bit of an issue, and they probably would want to get another leg into camp at that point so they don't wear out Drew Butler. The two kickers have been working. Nothing really to report on what they've been doing. In terms of the return guys, The Chris Rainey is getting a lot of work back there, both as a kick return guy, the first guy in the mix, and a punt return guy, as is Marquise Mays. And we've talked a lot about, whether the Steelers should be using Antonio Brown or Manny Sanders back there. Special teams are important. What is the real risk legitimately of guys getting hurt when they're backfielding punts and kicks? And kicks are probably a little more dangerous because of the speed of the play versus punts. But we'll see how that plays out. Again, the Steelers do spend time every practice working on special teams. So, we do get a sense of that. And as I said, I think I gave a breakdown of how they ran the first kickoff returns. They had Chris Rainey as the return guy. Marquise Mays was his backup. The offset forward guy was John Dwyer, and Baron Batch was his backup. And then the big guy up in front, we started with Cam Hayward, and then they switched to Ziggy, and that's obviously the role that Ziggy played last year. So no surprise that it's those two guys alternating at that spot.
Before we get to some of these listener emails that we have to go over, David, the number 5 wide receiver spot, is this still a log jam there? Has anybody stuck their head out of the hole at all?
No, I haven't seen anything. I mean, I saw the word that Tony Clements dropped some balls at the end of practice the other day. I mean, Jimmy Young made a great catch at the last play on Sunday over Ike Taylor on a long ball from Leftwich. Nothing, Marquise Mays, again, when you're a smaller guy and you have that kind of quickness, your visible, Tyler Byler's out there, the guy you had interviewed last week, Derek Williams, the former Penn Stater. I think he's the longest of the long shots. But
he actually ran, though, with the first team with Sanders out. So I found that pretty interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't read a lot into that, but just
more of a veteran nod to him.
Yeah, I think maybe that's it. I didn't notice that that one guy was getting a lot more. I mean, a lot more of the stuff there. I mean, Kotchery's a guy. We know what role he's going to play. So I watched a little bit of that. I'll spend a little more time. One of the things is when the positional drills, you get a chance to kind of watch offense or defense. Hopefully the field's dried out over the past 2 days and they can get back on their normal practice fields. And that'll give us a better chance to kind of get closer to watch some of the stuff that's going on. I've spent a lot of time watching the O-line, the running backs. I'd like to spend a little more time with the DBs and the linebackers and some of the D-line stuff. I haven't had a chance to get close to that. I mean, really the focus has been on kind of what kind of the walkthrough. You know, when they're doing positional stuff or unit stuff, it's more interesting to watch the offense because you see kind of when they're doing play walkthroughs and stuff like that, you can see kind of the plays they're running. Whereas on defense, they're just doing more shell stuff and setups, and it's a little tougher to kind of take a lot away from it. So as we get going here, we'll have a better idea. I will be on 2-4 today. We're going to do this for the rest of camp, and I'm thrilled about it. We're going to be simulcast on 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio. So I'll be coming out of Tunch and Wolf. It'll be me. And then coming out of my show, the Joe Bendel Show, will be on there. So we will have live camp coverage going for you from 12 to 7 every day. So something for you to look forward to if you're interested. And then we'll see if that continues during the season. But I will be up there every day. And as I said, I'll look to have hopefully the coaches involved and get a chance to talk to them for 10 or 15 minutes, one a day as we go through camp here.
I'll be listening. I'm your biggest fan, Dave. I'll certainly be listening, especially if you have some coaches on. Let's talk about a couple of the emails we got in here. We got buddy Tom, Tom Bridge from Manchester, England, writes in, appreciates the show and all like that. He's on one side of the fence. He's on my side of the fence with Wallace right now, basically. And my side of the fence of Wallace is going to change here over the next week if he doesn't get in this week and sign that tender and all. But he's saying he's surprised that basically, I'm not going to read the whole email here, but basically, you know, how the Steeler fan base are the hostility towards Wallace thus far. Because let's face it, Wallace, this is a business. Wallace is following everything towards the rules allowed by the CBA and his contract. And that's pretty much, and he talks about the ability for Wallace to take the top off the defense, and that's what makes him so valuable. So I am with Tom on this one right now. My view on this, okay, all the doors and windows have been locked right now. I'm okay with him missing that first week. If Wallace does not get in this week, that's when I'm going to question what the heck's going on. But we appreciate that email from Tom Bridge in Manchester, England.
We got a great email from Carlos Salas from Honduras, and I'd like to pronounce the city he's from in Honduras, but I'll say Tegucigalpa, blah, blah, blah. How'd that go? You think you got that one, Dave?
Tegucigalpa.
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 Tegucigalpa. I think that's right. Tegucigalpa, Honduras. Carlos, fantastic email. He sent us a picture, talked about Super Bowl 30, watching that with his father. And great stuff, and enjoyed the picture. I got to tell you, when I read these things, I get a big smile on my face. I know Dave does too. So, Carlos, really great to hear from you. Dave and I are putting pins in maps now from people where we're getting these really, really all over the world. So appreciate the note. Keep them coming.
It is. It's interesting. Honduras and, I mean, we just back-to-back Honduras and Manchester, England. I mean, I'm with you. Every time I see an email like that, it puts a smile on my face. Our buddy Bob's back too, David. Bob from Canada. And Bob's going to be one of those guys with our show that we're from now on, Bob, we're calling you Bob from Canada, and everybody's going to know what we're talking about. But Bob wants us to clarify because he doesn't have the answer. And a lot of fans probably don't either. If Mike Wallace decides to hold out and not sign his tender until week 11, do the Steelers have to let him play week 11? Or basically can they just basically bench him, I guess, is what they're saying. This is a fine line, and this is where I'm doing some research right now. If he comes back, of course, there's going to be an adjustment period for him to learn the offense and get into tune what's going on. But, you know, to bench him for the final six games of the year, he would get his accrued season, okay? But if to bench him like that and not let him play, I think Mike Wallace would be able to file a grievance on that.
I think, you know, the deal is it's going to be, and it's been addressed a little bit. There's going to be a chemistry issue. What's going on? How are the Steelers doing? If the Steelers went in and they're 11-0, I think there's, you know, they could just have him be a guy who's inactive for games. And it's not going to affect what Mike Wallace gets paid. So I don't think there's any grievance necessarily to be filed.
Not letting him play, though, I mean, that's a purposeful act to damage a player.
Well, I don't think, you know, the team comes – he comes in at week 11. They can say, look, they're performing well without him, and it's not a at that point, there's not going to be a case there. It's going to be, you know, we didn't think he's football ready. He came in at that point in time, 3 or 4 weeks of practice. We haven't seen enough to displace, the guys who are here. So he's getting paid. It's not going to affect the money he's making, and nobody's going to say, oh, well, he has a right to make, you know, future money. So I'd be shocked if there was, you know, if they were somehow – they were keeping him from getting paid, I think the grievance could be filed. But as long as he's getting his money, I don't think the Steelers are doing, you know, that's a management decision, a coach's decision. I don't think there's any, I don't think they'll have a leg to stand on.
And Bob also wants to know about the payment there. You know, he does not get paid if he does not come in. And as David and I talked at the top of the show there, basically take that $2.74 million, divide it up into 17 equal pieces for 17 weeks in the season, and every week that he's not on the roster, he's missing that game check, and he's not getting it. And it's also not counting against the Steelers' salary cap either, because he would be on the did-not-report list at that time. So when he comes in, he signs that tender, and he reports, that's when his paychecks, you know, start going forward there. And as far as, you know, Bob, what I'm going to do is I've got, you know, a couple of agent buddies of mine. I'm going to ask them this specifically, and I was, you know, once your email came in, which came in yesterday, I believe, I'm going to ask you know, some of these agent buddies about that and what stance, you know, how much legal right does Mike Wallace have in this from a grievance side of things.
All right, Dave, any other emails or points we need to touch on?
No, I think we cleared out quite a bit. I'll be doing another wrap-up show tonight with going to have another fan, female fan this time, to get her perspective. She's taking notes out there all day. She's a big listener and reader of the blog, and she participates a lot on the Post-Gazette chats and all like that as well, too. So look forward to that later tonight. I'm going to give David another day off. I'm going to probably bend David's ear back on one of those later this week. So outside of that, the usual stuff, follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David at Hammer Speaks.
Yeah, we got a nice bump in the they finally bumped me over 2,000, Dave. We got a nice jump in the followers with the training camp report. So
and that's a big asset. That's a big asset, and that's why you're getting them too, because, I mean, well-deserving on that. I mean, you really are doing a great job on that, and, you know, it's something that everybody should be following if you're not able to make it out there and are at work or something and want some spot updates. Make sure you're following David on Twitter at Hammer Speaks.
Yeah, and I'll be on the radio today and every weekday until the Steelers break camp from La Trobe. So that's through, I think, Thursday, 2 weeks from now. 2 to 4, as I said, and it's also Steelers Nation Radio. You can get that on your iHeart phone, smartphone app. It's under Black and Gold Radio on that app. It's not called Steelers Nation Radio. And tonight I'll be on with Tom Bradley. My buddy Tom and I will be at Racers in La Trobe, 6 to 8 tonight. So if you're in the area, come join us. But we'll be on 104.7 News Talk, FM News Talk 104.7 tonight for the radio show.
That sounds great. I'll be listening.
All right. Well, again, we got some more donations this past week. That means a lot to us. Thanks so much for thinking of us. You can do it through PayPal, the admin of Steelers Depot, or you can go to SteelersDepot.com, and there's a little button there. Every little bit helps, and we appreciate that. And as always, Thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.